Take your Bibles today and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's always a privilege to get a chance to influence the lives of young people as you are here today, students, realizing your lives are before you. As I've been praying the last few days about what the Lord would have me to preach on, my heart began to settle on something here that I know many young people struggle with. A general issue. Something we all struggle with, something I still struggle with. And yet, as you look at this, you're not probably going to say, oh, yeah, that's what I thought he was preaching on when he said that. Notice in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, almost apparent. In fact, it is a parenthetical thought in the King James. In parentheses, it says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is a big word in the Scriptures. You can't study the Scriptures without understanding the concept of faith. I think in terms of the very foundation of our lives and our relationship with God, it begins by faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. It begins with a concept of faith. A recognition of who He is, what He's done, what He will do for you, and our salvation begins with this concept of believing or faith. There's another use of that word, and that is the idea of what it is that we believe, the body of faith. In the Greek, it's referred to as the faith that was once delivered unto us. It's not about what you do in relationship to that faith. It is the doctrines that you're believing. Some of you this summer are taking Bible Doctrines 1 or Bible Doctrines 2. And you're being taught the faith. It is that body of things that we are to put our faith in that the Scriptures teach. There's another concept of this, not the beginning of our salvation, but as we are saved, comes to this point that Paul is referring to here, where he refers to this as walk in faith. Walk in such a way that would suggest that you really do believe what you say you believe. Walk by faith. Walk based on what you know to be true. And today, that's the focus of where we want to spend our time as we look at this. What is it? What does it mean to walk by faith? When I've asked this question in class in times past, what does it mean to walk by faith? I've gotten a number of different answers, but generally they seem to keep coming back to one specific area, and that is oftentimes we think in terms of money. A student is here by faith. We oftentimes mean the fact that he's in need of money and he's praying daily that God would supply his needs for laundry and for his school bill, and he's living by faith. And we have this concept of faith that God will provide money. Mr. Vowles was just referring to a group of young people, students that went to China for a mission team. And we oftentimes use this term perhaps in the fall when we're looking for students to go the following year. Encourage, just believe that God will provide for you. And we've seen God provide. Give God a chance. Live by faith. And we focus in again on that financial issue. And when I've asked about this, that's almost as far as some students can go with the concept of faith. We ought to tithe because we give in faith, believing that if I give, God will make me prosper. Faith does have a lot to do with money, but that's not where it stops. So we look at this concept. I want to expand out a little bit. It has to do with accepting trials. It has to do with just so many different areas of our life, how we live, how we behave, how we relate to others, what we're living for, what the future holds. Walk by faith. We ask the question then, what is faith? The word is actually used in several different ways. I'm going to relate the word to believe and use them almost interchangeably here in this. When we talk about believing something or having faith in something, there's three ways that this word can be used. Now, I want you to get this because There's a misunderstanding about this many times. Let me give them to you. Number one, there is the idea to know something is possible but fail to do anything about it. For example, in James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "You believe there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Let me ask you something. Do you think the devil has any question in his mind as to whether or not there's a God today? Absolutely none. He knows there's a God. But it's not affecting his life for good. He knows something with absolute confidence. He stands in his presence, but he won't yield himself to him. He believes, he knows, he's persuaded. But he's not doing anything about it. I think of young people today that you ask them what they believe and they'll tell you, "I believe this, 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 and this." Or you see somebody on TV and they're being interviewed about some catastrophe that took place in their life, maybe a news item, and God's in charge. And yet, you look at their lives, they're living in immorality, living with men, living with women, unmarried. Lives show no indication that God has any effect in their lives. They believe. They grew up in Sunday school. They know what's right and wrong, but they're not going to let God affect their lives. They have a knowledge of. And if you ask them, "Are you saved?" They say, "Sure, I'm saved. I know all about Jesus." In fact, I had a boy tell me one time, grew up in Sunday school. He said this. He said, "I know I'm on my way to heaven because back when I was in 5-year-old Sunday school, I believed that Jesus died for me." He said, "All I care about is just getting to heaven by the skin of my teeth. That's all I care about." And he was living the most ungodly, wicked life you could imagine. He had a false understanding of the concept of believing. Then there's the concept of believing that has the idea of being persuaded of the possibility of something, but fail to really know it with certainty. For example, my wife and I were talking last night about maybe going to the Greenville Drive ball game. And as we were talking about it in the morning, about maybe getting some tickets to go, I said, "You know, I don't know for sure, but I believe it might rain tonight. The weatherman says there's a possibility of it." Now, I wasn't saying it was going to rain. I just said I think there's a possibility of it. Is it really something we want to spend our money on? Is it something we want to go out there and sit there and watch it rain for an hour if it does? Isolated showers. I believe there's a possibility it might rain. Do you know that when we talk to young people many times, students here at school, they've grown up in a Christian home all their lives, and you say, "Well, do you believe in Jesus?" And they say, "Well, yeah, I don't have anything better to believe in." I mean, that's not the terminology they use, but that's what they mean by it. And if they had grown up in a Mormon home, they would believe what Mormons believe. If they had grown up in an Islamic home, they would, but they really don't have any foundation for their faith, and it's just kind of a blind faith. They're not really convinced of anything. And when they say, "I believe it," they simply mean, "Well, I imagine there's at least a good possibility that it's so." Really never checked it out, never really persuaded of it. Not sure I would die for it. It's my dad's faith. I was taught it. And this is what I believe is possibly true. I want you to get past that. I hope in your college years that you will gain an apologetic and evidence for what you believe to be true. When Paul said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead," he was not saying, "Well, I hope that's true." He said, "If it's not true, we're of all men most miserable. Let me persuade you. Let me help you come to the conclusion of full persuasion that Jesus Christ really is risen from the dead." When I was your age taking Bible doctrines, I had to write a paper. Back then we wrote a paper on the inspiration of scriptures. And I remember standing in the library as I was doing my research, and back in the old stacks there we had them. It was a very kind of a dungeony kind of a place, block walls painted seafoam green, as I recall. I mean, they smelled like old books, but one of the greatest revelations or greatest illuminations of my life, this book that I'm holding in my hand, I'm going to answer to God for someday. The evidence is overwhelming. I became fully persuaded. The third definition of believe, not only just to know something, but do nothing about it, or to hope something is true, But the final definition here is to be fully persuaded of something and to do something with it. To base your life on it, to walk by faith. That's what we want to talk about here today, where Paul says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying work out a plan of salvation. That's already been worked out. What he's saying is, knowing what salvation is, work it out in your life. Work it out in your day-to-day existence, in your relationships. Walk by faith. So we ask the question, what does it mean to walk by faith? And the answer to that comes in a number of different answers. Number one, let me give you several things here that helps to get it beyond just this idea of a financial issue. What does it mean to live by faith? Number one, to live with the awareness of God's presence. To live with a continual awareness of God's presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, a few verses just following the one we're basing our sermon on here. Paul says this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing, being fully convinced of the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm convinced there's a heaven. I'm convinced there's a hell. I'm convinced there's a judgment someday. But we live in the awareness of God and God's presence. We walk in the fear of the Lord. I was reading a sermon. I grade sermons in the summertime from the gentlemen who are in summer ministry practicum, School of Religion. One man, the illustration was given. He may even be here today. I forget who it was that I read it from. But he was telling the story that when he was a young boy, he was studying. He was struggling with his spelling, would study long hours to try to do well. And he decided one day he was not going to fail any more spelling tests, but not by studying more. But he decided he was going to stick a list of them in his desk. And so he would write. The teacher would give another word. He would pull his little sheet out, write some more. The teacher would give another word, pull his sheet out, write some more. She saw what he was doing, and he was intent on what he was doing, wasn't watching. And she gave another word, and he reached in, pulled his sheet out, and started writing, and she reached down and pulled the sheet up beside him. He said, if I had known she was there, I certainly wouldn't have been doing that. Let me ask you something. Do you live with the awareness of God's presence? Do you put on your computer what you would put on there if even mom and dad were watching? Do you watch on TV things that you would watch if Jesus Christ were sitting there next to you as they take his name in vain? Maybe other issues, places you go, things you choose to do. Somebody asks you something, you tell a lie very easily. And you act as if there's nobody who knows or is going to find out or can do anything about it. The teacher gives a test and you've got your cheat sheet or you look at the student's answers next to you. And there's no awareness of God's presence or that he can do anything about it. You're not walking by faith. You're walking with a blindness to the reality of God's presence and his existence and his dealing in your life. I can do this, you're saying, and I can get away with it and God won't catch me. Things you choose to do, you steal, you cheat, and as long as you get away with it, you think you've gotten away because there's nobody who caught me. The camera didn't catch me. And you're not walking in the awareness of God's presence. Paul says, walk by faith, not by sight. No, you can't see God, but God is there. Ananias and Sapphira came in and Peter asked them a question. Is this what you sold the piece of property for? And they said, yes. If ever there was a little white lie told, that was it. But they acted as if God was not there. And granted, their judgment was much more swift than most people's judgment. But I want to remind you that Paul told the Corinthians, he says, there are some people who are weak and sickly among you, some even sleep, because you have partaken of communion, you claim the name of Christ, And yet you walk as if Jesus Christ has no claim on your life, as if God has no claim on you. Sometimes it is swift like Ananias and Sapphira. Sometimes it is delayed. But God is able to bless those that do what is right. He is able to take vengeance on those that do what's wrong. Do you walk by faith? Do you walk with the awareness of God's presence? We move on. Walking by faith, secondly, means to live with the confidence in God's character. What does God say about Himself? Well, you could probably go through a list, if you've taken Bible doctrines, of the characteristics of God. And you think of the greater attributes of God, His omniscience, His omnipresence, this sort of thing. But His character, what are they? Well, we say He's good, He's just, He's holy. Do you live with the awareness of God's character? I'll give you this illustration. If my dad today were to say, Doug, I understand you have some needs this summer, and I'm going to send you $200. It'll be in the mail today. You should be getting it in a couple of days. I wouldn't hesitate to go ahead and make decisions based on that $200 coming. I know the character of my dad. My dad says he'll do something, he'll do it. When God says He is a certain way, I can base my life on that. God says He's good. God says He's just. I can base my life on that. Paul pulls this out in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, where he's telling them how to respond to their enemies. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." Paul here is challenging people to take enemies, and if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Why? Here's the challenge. I can't do that myself. I want to know something's going to happen to that person. But I don't have to be responsible for it, because I know there's a God in heaven who is just, who says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And Paul is calling on the character of God. He's just. Therefore, you don't have to take care of your own vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. Let Him repay. He'll do it right. Not only will He take vengeance, He'll repay those who give to those who are hungry, give water to those who are thirsty as their enemies. He'll reward that as well. God is a just God. There's coming a day where the crooked will be made straight, the high places, the arrogant ones will be made low, and the humble will be raised up. I believe that God is just, and I base my life upon it. There are times when we might go through difficulties in life of persecution, perhaps treated wrongly, and we want to get even with somebody. Peter there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, talks about Jesus, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. And then based on that concept, He challenges servants in their relationship to their masters who may be cruel. Citizens who lived in an ungodly Roman Empire under unfair, unjust Caesars. Wives who maybe lived under irresponsible husbands, to commit their souls to the safekeeping of God who judges righteously. To walk by faith is to live in the awareness of God's presence. It is to walk with confidence in God's character. Let me give you another one. To walk by faith is to live in light of God's testimonies or His witness. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." When I was in, I believe, early high school, I got settled in my mind, having grown up in a public school where evolution was taught. I got settled in my mind at a youth rally where Dr. Custer, Dr. Henson came and taught. Different ones came that day, had some seminars. I got settled in my mind that God created things. 7 days, young earth. I got that settled. And I began to realize that the testimonies that God has given, the witness He's given of the way things are, is true. Creation, the Bible itself, what God says about the Bible. I've learned to be true. The resurrection. There are some of these things that the more I study them, the more convinced I become of them. Listen, many of you grew up when you were a child, your parents said to you, you know, there's a Santa Claus and he's going to come tonight. But as you got to be about 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, there came a point in your life where you said, this isn't true. The more you learned about it, the more you realized it wasn't true. But as I have come to study the scriptures, the more I know about it, the more convinced of it I become. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. As I look at the prophecies, as I look at the world around me and realize that it supports a young earth and creation much better than it does an evolutionary viewpoint, I realize the testimonies of the Lord are sure. They make wise the simple. Rest assured that his witness of future events is sure as well. You know, when God told Noah, who had never seen rain, it's going to rain, Noah believed that. And he based his life on it. Peter says, seeing this world is one of these days going to be burned up by fire, what kind of person ought we to be? And we base our life on the testimonies of the Lord who knows the past as well as the future. And as we do so, it says he makes wise the simple. You have understanding of things the world doesn't understand. It is to put faith or to live in light of God's testimonies, his witness. Next, it is to live with confidence in God's evaluations or judgments. He says in Psalm 19, verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Do you realize you're going to base your evaluations, your judgments on something? What you choose is good and not good, you're going to base on something. I was driving here in town just the other day and I saw a group of guys at a bar, motorcycle bar. And I thought to myself, these guys are all dressing in a certain way, acting in a certain way. And I'm not evaluating whether it's good or bad, but I'm simply saying they were basing their evaluations of what life is and what life ought to be, what's good, what's right, to a great extent based on what everybody around them was doing. Now, what do you base your evaluation of what's good and right on? Paul prayed for the Philippian church and prayed that they would be able to discern things that are excellent. This last year in our chapels, we had some seminars about Christian manhood and Christian femininity. What are you basing what is beautiful on, girls? What are you basing what is masculine on? What are you basing that, gentlemen? If you're looking at the world's evaluation, you're going to come up wrong. You look at the scriptures, you're going to live a life that is dignified, a life that is full of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and godliness. And these things don't even come on the radar of the unsaved world. If you're basing your evaluation of manhood and femininity on what you see in the movies or TV, that's not what you're going to come to. But God says these things are good. Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is wise? Trust his evaluations. Fourth, next it is to live in the confidence of God's commands. Do you believe he knows what's good? What he says is right. Adultery is wrong. Immorality is wrong. That God says these things are good. Marriage is good. Do you agree with that? I'll give you one more here. That is to live with a confidence in God's providence. It's probably one of the hardest for many to believe. Perhaps been abused as a child. Bitter against parents or a brother, sister, a boss, teacher that did you wrong. We can carry bitterness through life. Do you have confidence in God's goodness that God has allowed this for some reason? I think of Jeff Call that we had in chapel here, I believe it was this past year, came and spoke. He is the director up at Camp Kobiak in Michigan. Talk of the unusual background that he came from, how God brought him out of that. Do you realize that his ministry today has been shaped by his past? And God will give him ministries that I perhaps could never have because of the background he allowed him to have. And in eternity someday, he'll look back and say those were small prices to pay in order to have the reward that I have in heaven. The sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the glory that shall be hereafter. Do you have confidence in God's sovereignty? Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, and we know, say it with me, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you have that confidence? Walking by faith. Let it influence every decision, every idea, every evaluation, everything you do. May God help you to walk by faith. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the promises you've given, the commands that you've given that are good and right, that help us to live a life that turns out good and desirable. For the evaluations that you give that help us to live with a respectful life, a life that is pleasing to God and finds favor with man. Lord, we pray today that you would help each one of these students to walk by faith, not just in their finances, though this is an important thing too, but Lord, to walk by faith in your presence, walk by faith in your character, your commands, your promises, your sovereignty, your providence in our lives. Lord, we pray today that we would not walk by sight, but that we would walk by faith. Meet the needs and the lives of each student here. Grant us the ability, Lord, to trust you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.